morning from the Hebrew translation, and I go back to this from time to time. It's a Psalm of David. It says, "May the Lord answer you in the time of trouble. The name of Jacob's God keep you safe. May He send you help from the sanctuary and sustain you from Zion." Now, when we were going through Genesis, I explained why God sometimes refers to Himself as the God of Jacob, and sometimes He refers to Himself as the God of Israel. It means that God is our God even when we're at our worst and at our best. And so in this case, He says, you know, Jacob was a scoundrel sometimes, and God had to lead him on a path for him to fully understand, and He changed his name to Israel. Well, God's not just our God when we're at our best. I'm glad I have a God that sticks around in the hard times too. Amen. And it says, "The Lord answer you in the time of trouble. The name of Jacob's God keep you safe. May He send you help from the sanctuary and sustain you from Zion. May He receive the tokens of all your meal offerings and approve your burnt offerings. May He grant you your desire and fulfill your every plan. And may we shout for joy in your victory, arrayed by the standards in the name of our God. May the Lord fulfill your every wish." Think about that. We're going to come back to that later in a different way. "Now I know that the Lord will give victory to His anointed and will answer him from His heavenly sanctuary with the mighty victories of His right arm." Who's the right arm?
Jesus.
"They call on chariots and they call on horses, but we call on the name of the Lord our God." I like the last two verses too. It says, "They collapse and lie fallen, but we rally and gather strength." The Lord grant victory, and may the King answer us when we call. Well, we're calling, Lord. And we want you to show up today in a mighty way, because we're learning around here to not trust in chariots and horses, but to trust in your name. And we love you this morning, God, and we thank you for sending your Son, for dying on that tree in our place. We had sin that we couldn't get rid of until we met your Son. And now we realize that He has covered all of that sin, Lord, through the sin offering. He's become that sin offering, Lord. And now that we've accepted you through that sin offering, we still have access to you by the trespass offering. And we surrender to you this morning, Lord, and we affirm once again, say it with me, "Some trust in chariots and horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord." Give Him praise this morning. During worship, I was just overwhelmed with how good God's been to me. Can we just close our eyes for a moment and just reflect on how good God has been to you? All of His mercy and His grace. All the things that He's shown up in and just made them work out. Things that were out of our control. Maybe it was health issues, wealth issues, relational issues. Certainly starts with salvation and forgiveness. But man, the Lord's been good to me. We all should be, we should just adore Him. Because all of us were sheep gone astray. Our righteousness was as filthy rags. There was none good, no, not one. Nobody earned your spot in the family of God. He adopted us through the process of His Son. And we're so thankful, God, that you've not left us to ourselves, that you've visited us, and you've offered us a way of escape. And not only that, you said that we would have abundant life here and on the other side if we would follow you and obey you. If we would put you first, if we would love you more than any other relationship, mother, father, brother, mother, sister, husband, wife, can't love anybody more than you and be your disciple. And help us to understand, Lord, by loving you first and loving you the most, it enables us to love others more and correctly. We come to your table now, God, not because we've earned it, and certainly not because we deserve it, We come through the precious blood of your Son, your only begotten Son, Jesus. The one who hung on that tree, who willfully obeyed you. You set a plan in place to redeem us from death and destruction. We honor you this morning as we come to your table. We bless your holy name, and we remember all the good things you've done for us. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. Lord, we're so thankful. We can't even get inside your house without thanksgiving. We should be thankful every day, and we are thankful in our hearts, in our minds, and with our lips. We give you thanks. Thanksgiving for everything you've done in our lives. Every good and perfect gift has come from you. Every good and perfect gift has come from you. No matter the labor, the toil, the obstacles, everything's made possible by you. In spite of our effort, Lord, we couldn't do anything. It all starts with you. And we're thankful this morning, God. I'm thankful as I recall all the times down through my life that you've shown up and brought blessings and miracles. I love you and I honor you. In Jesus' name, everybody said. I want everybody to hear this before we dismiss some of you all. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus makes a statement. He says he just was astonished but he says, Jesus says, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country and in his own house. And the Bible goes on to say in the last verse of this chapter, he did not do many mighty works because of their unbelief. So it's possible for you and I to miss some things from God, right? If you don't believe, you can miss it. Several years ago, my wife and I'm going to give you this story, and I want you to think about it. What I'm getting ready to share with you all day can be life-changing. Several years ago, my wife and I needed some money quickly that we couldn't get access to. So we knew some things transpired where we borrowed the money, and we paid it back in 30 days. But let me tell you what had to happen for us to borrow that money. Number one, we had to have a relationship with the people we borrowed it from. Number two, we had to believe that they had the ability to do it. Number three, we had to believe that they would do it because they loved us and we had a relationship with them. Right? And number four, we had to ask. Don't you think about that in terms of the Lord. You need to have a relationship with Him. You need to believe that He does have things available, all things. You need to believe that He's willing to do it, and you're going to have to ask. And you can't waver. So, in this context, can Jesus do anything? Yes, He can. But He didn't do it there. Why didn't He do it there? Because they didn't believe. The Bible says the word came out to Israel, but it didn't profit them because they did not believe it. They didn't mix it with faith. So it's possible for Christians to miss stuff from God because we don't believe. The Bible says a man who's is double-minded is unstable in all his ways. He said, don't let that guy think he's going to get anything from God in the book of James. Who is a double-minded person? A person that gets up today and says, yeah, God can do it, and gets up tomorrow and says, I don't know if He can. That's being double-minded. And so our challenge starts with relationship, right? Do you have relationship? And this is where, for Christians, sin has to be rooted out. Sin will always be an obstacle to belief. Always be an obstacle to belief. If you've got sin in your life, if you've got a pet sin or something, that's always going to be a hindrance to you, to your relationship with God. And that's why we have a sin offering and a trespass offering. There's five offerings in the Old Testament, but the sin offering is for the condition of sin. You and I are positionally born into sin, like the New Testament and the Old Testament says, and our position needs to change. My condition can be overcome through that sin offering. Now I have a right standing with God by the sin offering, quote unquote. The trespass offering is the thing that I use when I sin afterwards. We still sin, right? So even though we've been born again, we still need that trespass offering, even though the sin offering has clothed us and changed our position. Now I have to exercise the trespass offering to get rid of things that come up along the way, right? So that's why when you come into the tabernacle, like we were talking about this prayer journey, you're met with that burnt offering right away. So if you need to make a trespass offering as soon as you come in, right? The burnt offering is about surrender. And that can happen there too, but it's, and those things work together. But that trespass offering, you got to maybe get something out between you and God, because that will interfere. The devil uses sin to drive Christians crazy. I got two amens. The devil will use that to torment you and to keep you separated from God, right? And in Isaiah, when he talks about in chapter 59, he told Israel, your sin has hidden God's face from you. He didn't say God had hid his face from them. He said, your sin has hidden God's face from you. And so God wants rid of sin in your life, number one, because he knows how destructive it is. But number two, he knows the interruptions it causes in our relationship, so that we're going to miss out on things. So these people missed out on things. He couldn't do many miracles there because they didn't believe. So it's possible that you and I can miss out on things if we do not believe. Say it with me. Some trust in chariots and horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord. You're going to have all kinds of chariots and all kinds of horses to try to steal your attention, try to give you alternatives to trust in God. But our challenge is to trust God. And we're all at different places in the path with that. Some are further down the road than others, but we're all going that same direction, so we should keep growing in our faith. The Bible says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Impossible. All right? I don't care how many humanitarian things you're doing. If you're not living by faith, you're not pleasing God. It's impossible to please God without faith. The Bible also teaches us that the trying of our faith is more precious than gold. So it is the number one thing God is doing inside of us. He is striving to grow our faith, right? He knows, we know, the Holy Spirit knows that it's going to be impossible for us to please the Father unless we live by faith. And so the trying of our faith is important in everything we do. That's the number one thing that's going on in our lives. God brings us to places to try our faith. We also know that faith comes by hearing and hearing of the Word of God. So it's important for you to be in God's Word as much as possible. You need to be in it every day. But get in God's Word and spend time in His Word, because that's how your faith is going to grow. It's going to be growing by faith. And then those moments when He sets up for our faith to be, sometimes He sets up trials and momentum, places where we can gain momentum. When we see Jesus, after He was baptized, the Bible said immediately the Spirit drove Him, capital Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, drove Him out in the wilderness. He was tempted by the devil for 40 days. While He was there, what did He use against the enemy? The Word of God. And so it's important that you continually take in, make those deposits of the Word of God, because you're going to need them when you face trials and temptations and tribulations. Let's go to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. I've skirted around this passage some in the last few weeks. We're just going to go through it today. In Numbers chapter 13, we're going to look at something that transpires here. Let's go to verse 16. The book of Numbers, chapter 13, verse 16. These are the names of the men whom Moses sent to spy out the land, and Moses called Hoshea, the son of Nun, Joshua, Yeshua is how we would say that in Hebrew. Then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan. He said to them, go up by the way to into the south, go up into the mountains, and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities that they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, whether there are forests, there are not. Be of good courage. Be of good courage. That's similar to the be of good cheer in the New Testament. There's an impartation taking place there of strength. You need to do that with each other. You need to do that with your spouse, your children. You need to impart strength into them. And so Moses is imparting strength into them. Be of good courage. Bring some of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes. So they went up, spied out the land from the wilderness of Zin as far as Rehob, near the entrance of Hamath. And they went up through the south and came to Hebron, Ahiman, Shishai, Talmai, and the descendants of Anak were there. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. Then they came to the valley of Eshcol, and there cut down the branch with one cluster of grapes. They carried it between two of them on a pole. Now, I've not seen a cluster of grapes like that. That's big time, ain't it? That's promised land stuff. They also brought some of the pomegranates and figs. I'm getting hungry. We're on this fast. How's that happen? It says, they all brought some of the pomegranates and figs. They placed the place they was called the Valley of Eshcol because of the cluster which the men of Israel cut down there, and they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. God likes 40. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel, in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Wow. Then they told them and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, we're scared. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, the giants, the Hittites and the Anak. The Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains. The Canaanites dwell by the sea along the banks of the Jordan. Then Caleb, Joshua and Caleb were the two, right? Then Caleb quieted. There's 12 went. These two guys stand out. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses, said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. Now your vision is going to determine where you're headed. I'm going to say that again. Your vision, what you see, is going to determine which direction you're going. And so these guys, Caleb says, hey, settle down. We can handle this. But the men who were going up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Now he's looking at himself, right? If you're going to look at yourself, guess what? The devil's stronger than you. But if you're going to go in the name of the Lord like David, guess what? The devil's in trouble. Goliath's in trouble. Goliath made David look like a shrimp. But David said, you come to me with a spear and a sword, I come to you in the name of the Lord. Yes. Amen. Now where are you going to stand? What are you going to look at? You going to look at your circumstances? Or are you going to look at God's Word? That's our challenge. I've come to the place in my life, 53 years old, there's only two options. You can either believe or not. There's no in between. And I'm not saying everybody has to be at the same spot. I'm still growing in this too. But there's only two options. You can either believe or not believe. And so here goes 12 guys in the land. 10 of them are sissies. That's what we'd say where I'm from. And they gone up, not able to go up. They're bigger, they're stronger. They gave the children of Israel a bad report. They gave them a bad report. Two guys are trying to give a good report. Let me tell you something. If you live in the world we live in, you're going to hear more bad than good. Let me know what I'm talking about. Whether it's the news, whether it's people at work, whether whatever, you're going to hear more bad reports than you do good reports. But we're still going to have to do what Isaiah said. Whose report shall we believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. We used to sing a song about that. Whose report will we believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. Whose report shall we receive? We shall receive the report of the Lord. His report says, I am healed. His report says, I am filled. His report says, I am free. His report says, victory. Do I need to sing that again? We're all going to sing in a minute. That's what the Lord says. The Lord says, the game's rigged. It's been fixed for those who trust in Him. That we can't lose, right? To live is Christ, to die is gain. He's got everything covered from the start of our journey all the way through the end and on past that. And so God is on our side. And that's what Joshua and Caleb are trying to remind the people. But these guys said, no, I want you to watch what happens here. Though the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitant. They gave a bad report that they spied out. And they said, this land will chew us up. And all the people whom we saw, the men of the great stature, the giants. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. Whose sight are they using? They're using their own sight. Now, it wasn't that bad. They weren't like a grasshopper compared to them, but that's what fear does, right? Fear does that to us. And look at the next thing that's said. Said, we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in the... How did they know what the other guys were thinking? They didn't know what the other guys were thinking. But yet, that's how fear works, right? That's how doubt and unbelief works. You know, you're like the guy that needs a jack, right? He has a flat tire, and he looks up ahead, and he says, that guy, I'm going to go borrow a jack off that guy that lives in that house. And so he starts that way, and he says... He gets there and he starts talking to himself. How many of y'all talk to yourself? We really talk to ourselves when we're unbelief, right? And so he starts heading up the way and he said, I bet he's got a jack. Said, I bet he's got a jack, but I bet he won't loan it to me. And then he gets a little closer and he sees he got a two-car garage. He said, I bet he's got two jacks. Said, but I bet he won't loan one of them to me. Then he gets up there and out back, he's got this big warehouse-looking building. He said, I bet that guy's got a whole jack factory, said, but he probably won't loan one to me. And so when he gets up to the door, he knocks on the door, and the guy comes to the door, and before the guy can say anything, he said, I don't want your old jack anyway, and turns around and walks off. That's how we can be sometimes, right? We can work all this up. They're sitting there working all this up in their mind. They're not thinking about what God said. They're not thinking about what God's already done. They're not thinking about Him parting the Red Sea. They're not thinking about all that stuff. Come on now, when you get moved from God, it makes you a little more accountable the next time. You should be moving up in your faith. And so these guys are coming over there and they said, they make us look like grasshoppers. And we know that's what they were thinking too. How do you know what they were thinking? They might have been suspicious. They might have been superstitious. They might have thought, we can't mess with grasshoppers. Grasshoppers are, you know, who knows what they were thinking. God goes before His people anyway. He drove a whole nation out with a bunch of hornets. So these guys are afraid, and they're starting to make up stuff. That's how fear works. That's how doubt works, right? Time you get to the guy to ask for the jack, you're so worked up, you don't even want to ask him for it. Because you're mad at him, you've never even met him. That's how fear and doubt works, right? They went over the land. Yeah, it's all like the Lord told us. It's flowing with milk and honey. But the giants are over there, and we look like grasshoppers, and we know that's what they're thinking about us. They didn't know what they were thinking about them. That's how fear and doubt works. Look at the next verse. He says in chapter 14, so all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And that's how the enemy works. Fear only causes harm, the Bible says. So now they've discouraged everybody. They've made them all fear, but now there's two guys that are hanging on to what God said, and that's Joshua and Caleb. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt. Really? Really? But that's us, right? We didn't have none of this trouble until we started serving the Lord. Right? That's how the devil works in our life. When we was running with the devil, everything was fine. You are blind. You were blind and headed over a cliff and didn't know it. That's how sin works. And here the Lord shows up, and now it's his fault. And he says, Moses, they complained. They said, we should have died in Egypt only if we had died in the wilderness. We should have died somewhere. That's what they're saying. We should have been killed off somewhere. Now we're going to have to go in the promised land and eat all these grapes. Why has the Lord brought us? Now see, this is how the devil works. He is getting them to forget what God has told them. He already parted the Red Sea. And then he drowned the Pharaoh's army after they got across. Come on, guys. It's time to mark up. We need some stubborn people in the church. We need some stubborn people who refuse not to believe. That they're going to believe no matter what. And he said, this land, he said, we're going to go to this land. He said, we could have died in Egypt. That would have been good. Could have got killed off in the wilderness. That would have been better. But now we're going to go over here and get killed. Right? And now our wives and children should become victims. We're all going to die. Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? Woo! And that's how the devil works, right? So they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. Forget about God's man. Let's find us somebody that'll do what we say. Forget about the man that'll tell us what we need to hear. Let's find a guy that'll tell us what we want to hear. And the Bible says that's exactly what's happening in the last days. He said people will go, they'll still congregate, but they said they'll have a form of godliness and deny his power. Is what Paul said. And he said they'll find them somebody with itching ears to tell them what they want to hear instead of what they need to hear. And what's strange about that to me is this, is nobody wants that from any other quarter in their life except their spiritual life. Don't tell me what I need to hear, tell me what I want to hear. But nobody wants that from their financial advisor. Nobody wants that from their doctor or any other place in their life. They don't want their 401k to be bottomed out and the financial advisor come out and say, here, have another cigar, everything's fine. Or the doctor to come out and find a mass the size of a softball and come out and say, everything look good to us, go get you some Little Debbies and head to the house. Nobody wants that from any other corner, and you shouldn't want that in your spiritual life either. I love when the Holy Spirit corrects me. I want to stay in the path. I want to stay in the right way. I didn't come here to please men or even myself. I come here to please Him. And the more I please Him, the more blessings come into my life. I like it that way. I like to get blessed. Tell your neighbor, say, the pastor, he likes to get blessed. I got blessed this week. Well, good for you. They had to rebuild my truck motor. It cost $4,000-some. It cost me $200. I call that a blessing. I told them they messed up when they gave me a lifetime warranty. I said, because I put a lot of miles on these things. They've been trying to get me to trade it back in for the last 3 months. Now I know why. But I'm stubborn. Listen, the Lord wants you to be stubborn when it comes to your faith. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. The word violence is a poor choice of words, probably from the English, but the Greek word means people who refuse to be denied. It's like the woman who come and said, "We come heal my daughter." And he said, "No, we can't give the meat off the master's table to dogs." And she tucked her tail between her leg and run off like a dog. That's not what the Bible said. She said, but the dogs eat the crumbs that fall off the table. He said, hey, you got it. She refused to be denied, even when Jesus said that to her. And that's what Jesus was drawing out of her. And that's a message to all of us. So now everybody's upset. It said to be better. So they said to one another, we're going to get a. Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. I'm going to take my jacket off. Sorry, Jonathan. They tore their clothes. That's a sign of anguish. Saying, I don't know what they said exactly, but I can just hear them say, "My God, let's stick with His word. What are we doing here? He's already told us the land belongs to us. He's already parted the Red Sea. He's already drowned Pharaoh's army. You guys got quail and manna and water out of a rock. What's wrong with you?" And I could say the same thing to Matthew Robbins. "God healed my son when we about lost him. He saved our daughter from dying. He's done miracle after miracle in our lives, financially and otherwise." And I could say, "Come on, Matthew. You know who God is. Let's get it right. And let's walk by faith." And he says, they were troubled. And Joshua, they're tearing their clothes as a sign of mourning. "And they spoke to all the congregation of Israel, saying, 'The land was passed. We pass through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. It is if the Lord delights in us, He will bring us in the land. And nor fear the people of the land.'" See, God already gave the word, and he said, "Now don't let fear take over." Joshua and Caleb saw the same things everybody else saw, but they decided to put their vision on God's word, not on the Anak. See, that's where the challenge at, right? You're going to take God at His word, or are you going to look at your circumstances? Peter wrestled with that when he stepped out of the boat. He was fine as long as he was looking at the Word. Jesus is the Word made flesh. He was looking at the Word. He was fine. When he started looking at the water, he started sinking. And so that's a message to all of us in both Testaments, old and new. So these guys are coming in, and they're tearing their clothes. They're saying, "Hey, God's on." He said, "Don't be afraid." He said, "Don't rebel against God, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them." See, two guys are looking in the spirit. Ten guys are staying in the flesh. They said, these two guys said their protection has left them. The other 10 guys said they're fortified. It all depends on how you see. You going to wear your own glasses, or you going to wear God's? How many of you would leave a crib up in the nursery for 25 years waiting? That's what Abraham and Isaac did. Excuse me, Abraham and Sarah. They left the crib up. I'm putting this in my language because I'm preaching. Now I get to tell how I want to. You preach, you can tell how you want to. They got the word 25 years before they got Isaac. So they went in and fixed the nursery and left the crib up waiting. Now, how many of us would have said 5 years later, we might as well take that to the flea market and sell it because it don't look like nothing's coming our way? Or we might as well give this to somebody who can use it 10 years in. Or 15 years in, we might as well cut it up and use it in a fireplace for kindling. Or 25 years in, 24 years in, and 6 months, we might as well say, we might as well take this to the antique shop and sell it. Am I talking to anybody? How many of us would have waited 25 years with the crib in the nursery waiting on God? That's our call. See, that's our call. God may do something in 5 minutes, or he may take 25 years to do something, but we still got to believe. Because God does not wear a watch. He exists outside of time. Now, it's very possible that things get delayed because we're whiners and complainers. And so He has to work some stuff out in us to get it. We might could have had it a little quicker, but we just whine, complain, doubt, unbelief, and all that stuff. So start believing. You can either do one of two things. You can believe or not believe. My grandmother is in bed most of the time right now. She's getting ready to turn 95. But if you walk up to her and ask her about her children, she'll look you straight in the eye and say, "God told me He's going to save my sons and my daughters." And some of them are still not saved. Some of them are still not saved, but they're going to be saved because she stood on God's word. She got a word from God 50 or 60 years ago, and she ain't backing down. She may leave this life with some of them still lost, but she's going to see them on the other side because she's believing. That's who we've got to be. And I feel like I'm the same guy in the Bible who said he got his faith from his grandmother. I got a lot of my faith from my grandmother who still lived by herself. Because she's a believer, man. She just loves God. She's not perfect. She's a believer. None of us are perfect, but we can all be believers. We can all be believers. You got one or two choices. You can believe or not believe. And it comes back to what I was saying to you. You got to have a relationship. If you have a relationship, then do you believe those people have what you need from them? And if they do you believe they love you enough to share it with you? And if you do, will you have enough faith to ask for it? It's the same process that we use with God. Do you have a relationship with Him? Do you believe He has everything you need? The answer to that is certainly yes. Do you believe He's willing to give it to you? The answer to that is yes. The Bible said in Romans that if He hung His own Son on a tree to lay Him out for our sins and to crucify His own Son, how will He not freely give us all things? Everybody say all things. And give us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Our God is willing to help you. He wants to help you, but He said, I've got this group over here in this city that I'm not going to help because they don't believe. So it starts right there. If it's impossible to please God without faith, you better get some faith. If it's impossible to please God without faith, you better get some. And if a double-minded man's not going to get anything from God, you better quit being double-minded. We were studying in our Sunday school this morning, and in Mark chapter 1, it says, make the Lord's path straight. You know what that is? That's about us. For years, I didn't understand what He was saying there. I thought, well, clean the path out. Let Jesus get through there. But it's about us. He's telling us to make our path straight. You know what He's saying there in that word in the Greek? He's saying, get all the obstacles out of the way so Jesus can walk right into your life. Any obstacle in your life, get it out of His path. Let Him come in and minister to you. And that's what faith does. It may help us remove those obstacles. Now, during this fasting season, we pushed the breakfast back because some crazy pastor called a fast right in the middle of all that. We pushed it back another week, so it won't be next week. It'll be the 8th, our breakfast. I'm going to finish off this 21 days of fasting. So I'm asking you to fast whatever God's telling you to do. 3 days, 1 day, fast lunch, fast 14 days, whatever. The Lord's telling you. God is calling us to honor Him and make paths straight. Now, what my wife and I have decided to do during this 21 season beyond fasting is to let the Word minister to us. Cut out some other things that we normally would do. Nothing wrong with doing them, but just giving that time to the Word so it can keep taking our faith on up. Just moving it up, moving it up, moving it up, moving it up. And so we're trying to set our situation, whether we're on a treadmill, Word of God. Whether we're scurrying around the house, the TV's on, the Word of God. That's what we want to get that Word pumped in us for 21 days. Because it's impossible to please God. So what can be deducted from that? If it's impossible to please God without faith, the more my faith grows, I can please God more. And here's something tragic. Would you wait 25 years and leave the nursery put together? Would you leave the crib up for 25 years? Or would you get mad at God? Would you get down on God? We've seen that happen. I've seen that happen. I've prayed for people that want to have a child, and a month later they'll come back and the Lord move. Been years waiting on it for years. God likes to do that for some reason. He done that on. But God wants you to believe and trust. He wants you to quit looking at your watch. Throw that watch away when it comes to spiritual matters. Now let's go on here in Numbers. And it says, if the Lord delights, He'll bring us this land. Don't rebel, He says, and fear the people. Their protections left them. Do not fear them. Verse 10 says, and all the congregation said to stone them with stone. Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle meeting before the children of Israel. And the Lord said to Moses, how long will these people reject me? And how long will they not believe me with all the signs which I've performed among them? And I think, as I was in worship this morning, I was thinking about all the things that God had done for me in my life. All the times He'd come through. And there can also be a presumptuous. David said, Lord, deliver me from presumptuous sins, presumptuous faults. You can act like God owes it to you or something instead of asking. But here's the key. Here's a life-changing thought. Have a relationship. Believe that He has what you need. Believe that He wants to give it to you. And then ask for it. And then go put the crib in the nursery and wait. That's the process. Just like with anybody else that you have a relationship like that with. We need stubborn people. Now, I'm going to tell you something really tragic. These two guys, Joshua and Caleb, were the only two guys out of that generation that got to go in the promised land. It's possible that only two people get it. Those two guys who said, we're going to stick with what God said, we saw what the other ten saw. The other ten convinced that whole generation not to go. These two guys outlived them all and went, and the rest of them didn't. That's tragic. So here comes Jesus. He said, I'm here to do great things. Everybody's getting great things done. Then He walks over here to this town. Nobody's believing it. They're saying things like, wasn't that Joseph's son? The carpenter? And they're not believing. Now, God's track record is beautiful. I dare say, not only in the Scripture, but in everybody's life in this building, if you've walked with Christ any measure of time, His track record with you is beautiful. We neglect God a lot. We do our own thing a lot. We kind of scurry away and have expectations, and we don't spend. Sometimes we get caught up in our own stuff. But God is faithful, and He comes through time and time again. And that's what He's saying here in Numbers. You see that? The Lord said to Moses, how long will these people reject me? And how long will they not believe me? With all the signs which I've performed among them, I will strike them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and I will make of you a nation greater and mightier than they. God said, I've had it with this unbelief. I've had it with unbelief. Now, in the New Testament, Peter said this. I'm going to close with this. Peter come in from fishing all night. Jesus was on the shore. And they, in Luke chapter 5, they talk about that. Let's go over to Luke chapter 5. Let me just read you a few verses there. In Luke chapter 5, they talk about all this. And so it was, in verse 1, as the multitude pressed about Him, Jesus, to hear the word of God, that He stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put a little from the land, and He sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. Now, there's the first thing. Let God use your stuff, whatever it is. Nothing's off limits to God. You hear me? If you're a solid, committed, following believer, nothing's off limits to God. Your house is not off limits. Your money's not off limits. Your time's not off limits. Your 401k's not off limits. Nothing's off limits to God. How many found this out? You ain't never going to outgive God. That ain't never going to happen. If you're sincere, we know He's sincere. No, you're never going to outgive Him. And so after He stopped speaking, He told them, said, launch out into the deep and let your nets down for a catch. But Simon, who hadn't had his name changed yet, answered and said to Him, Master, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your what? Word. Now he had every reason not to go out. He just got his nets cleaned. Hung out on the clothesline to dry. Now, how many of us would have thought, oh, mercy, I've fished for 25 years. We know there's no fish out there tonight. We've done been out there all night. And I mean, all that would be going through our minds. We just got our nets clean. Our wife's got pintos and cornbread fixed, and we're tired and weary. You know, all that would be going through your brain. But Jesus has given a word. Let me say something to you. If Jesus gives you a word, drop everything and do it. And he's given him a word, and now he's got a challenge, right? He voices his fleshly side, right? He said, we've been told all night and caught nothing. That's the flesh talking, right? Here come 12 spies. The flesh talks through 10 of them. Those guys, we look like grasshoppers, and that's exactly what they think about us. And they didn't even talk to them. But they're in the flesh, right? And so here they come. He said, the flesh talks first, and then his spirit tries to jump in, right? And that's the battle all of us are going to have. Just like we talked some last week. The flesh is going to try to get its way, but the spirit man's going to be down in there saying, hold on. Let's check and see what God says about that. And so the spirit man is trying to leap up, and he does. He says, hey, nevertheless, at your word. And that's where we all got to live, right there. I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. I bet they never had a trip like that. Never read anything else where their net was breaking unless they got it hung like I do sometimes when I fish. I lose some good fishing lures. And they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking, so they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. I ain't never had a fishing trip like that. I can't even fill the live well up. These guys' boats are sinking. Let me tell you something. If you'll take God at His word, it'll help other people too. It'll start running over on your children and on your family and on your wife and on the rest of the church and on the community. If some people stand up and be stubborn and say, we're not backing off God's word. That's the kind of people God's called us to be. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. We are the people who are stubborn. We're stubborn on God's word. And when we take God at His word, everybody's blessed for it. Your family will be blessed. Your church will be blessed. Your community will be blessed. Your job will be blessed. They'll be coming up and saying, what's wrong with you? How come you always get? I told you, one of the greatest compliments, maybe the best one I've ever had in my Christian experience, is a friend of mine who said, I have watched you for 25 years. And said, you go through the same trouble all of us do. He said, but it seems like the Lord always shows up and bails you out. I said, that's exactly right. I trust in Him. He is the way, the truth, and the life. There is none beside Him. He delivers me from my sin. He heals me of my sicknesses and diseases. He brings money out of a fish's mouth. He does all that and more. That's the God we serve. So if we'll take Him at His word, it'll bless others. They said, we're going to go out and launch. And they were out there by themselves evidently at first. The net's starting to break. They finally get it up and they holler at the other guy and say, come on. It's time for you to get blessed too. And the boats are sinking. Will you take Him at His word? You guys can come to the instruments. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees and saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. You can stand to your feet. God will frequently give out His word. Do you know how many rhema words you could get just by reading your Bible? God will revelate something to you right in the middle of your study, and you'll know it's seasoned for you right there at that moment. And prayer, do you know how many more words we could get if we prayed more? Think about it in this way. Unless you have a father who's a knucklehead, I've never been to my father's house whenever I get to see him that he's not wanting to talk to me. He loves it. Do you think your Heavenly Father wants to talk to you? Sure He does. He's got something to say to all of us. And I want to throw this bombshell on you, okay? I need to get a drink before I say this. What if you're not replaceable? What if you don't live by faith? What if you don't do? And what if stuff don't get done because you are not replaceable? You know there'll never be another Dennis Norton? And Glenna said, amen, praise the Lord for that. I believe God does raise up people to do some things that people refuse to do. I do believe that. But what if that's not always the case? These people in the Scripture missed out on what He was going to give them because they did not believe. There'll never be another Dan Hitchcock. Never. So what if Dan lets up off the gas? What if Matthew lets up off the gas? You going to take him at his word? That's all he's asking us to do, is take him at his word. He's not. Here's the beauty of it. And this settled with me early on in ministry, and that's why I don't fret much about this kind of stuff. God didn't call me to build His church. He didn't call me to do that. He called His Son to do that. Jesus said, upon this rock, I'll build My church. God didn't call me to save anybody. He sent His Son to do that. God didn't call me to heal anybody. He sent His Son to do that. In fact, in the book of Acts, it says the Lord adds to the church daily such as should be saved. What He called me to do is take Him at His word, walk it out, pisteo, believe, and share. Share the message. We are supposed to take Him at His word. That's what makes us different. Do you know people live in the same kinds of houses we do? They drive the same kind of cars we do. They eat the same foods we do. They wear the same clothes we do. All that's common. What's different about us? We take God at His word. And when He says, launch out in the deep, we say, we're getting out there. Father, I thank You for Your love and mercy this morning. There's people all in this building that need things from You, God. And the enemy works so hard to steal Your word from us. We see that in the parable of the sower. And Lord, we just pray that as Your word comes alive in us, maybe in a service, maybe in a prayer time, maybe in our own personal study time, that we'll lay hold of that, just like that woman who said, yeah, but the dogs eat the crumbs that come off the table. We'll be that same kind of spirit, Lord. There's only two things we can do, Lord. We can either believe or not believe. And we know we have a relationship with You. We know You have everything we need. We know that You want to give it to us. And now, it's up to us to ask and to walk our faith out. If you're here this morning and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you need to step out of your seat and get that done today. Today's the day of salvation. If you heard His voice, hearken unto Him. Maybe you're here and you're away from God. I'm going to tell you something. That path's going to get rough. Turn back. Let that which is lame be healed and turn back in the path, Paul said. Don't be playing games with God. We're too close to the finish line. Do you realize that Israel is already training young men to offer sacrifice in the temple? They're training them how to do the sacrifice. That's how close we are to this thing winding up. They're running DNA tests, dental records, to find out who belongs to the tribe of Levi, and more specifically, who is of the house of Aaron. And that's why all those begats and things are in your Bible. A lot of that's about the end of time. The Lord's coming. You may have people under you that you're a steward over, children and stuff. Are you going to leave them a heritage in God, or are you going to leave them a stinky old four-wheeler? Nothing wrong with leaving the four-wheeler, but if that's all you're leaving them, you ain't leaving them nothing. You leave them a heritage in God. You leave your children and your grandchildren. Let them see their daddy and their granddaddy honoring God with their lives. That's the heritage we got to leave. You know what? I can do without anything in this life except Jesus and seeing my children on the other side. I want to see my children on the other side. Father, this altar's open. Come. If you're a Christian and you just need to grow in your faith, whatever you need to do, will you come as they worship? Don't be doing this anymore.
It's too cold. It's too deep.
Yeah. launch out, get you a big bunch of tuna, and share that tuna with your pastor when you launch out. God's good, amen? And all the time, He's good. Let's give Him some praise this morning. Lord, we praise You.